It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to Off the Bench Summer Edition. All the big news and views from sport.
Hello. Welcome to it. It's another weekend of Off the Bench Summer Edition, where we discuss the big league stories of the week and look back on some of the highlights and lowlights from Sports Day. Featuring myself, Jason Matthews, and Matthew Rogers. How are you?
I'm good. Yep.
Now, the reason you're in, by the way, is because Saps is on holidays with the beautiful Beck. She's celebrating her 50th birthday.
Deservedly so. Great little break for them.
He told me, though, on her birthday, she had some clothes made. He said, what else do you want to do at your birthday? And I'm more for that, because then he can stop harassing us and sending us messages.
Yes.
And she goes, oh, I wouldn't mind. Let's go to the pool bar. And he says to me, it was 10:30 a.m.
Oh, play on.
I know.
Play
what a legend
on.
That woman is. What an absolute legend. Hey, listen, speaking of legends, and of course it was Valentine's Day on Wednesday. Do you want to remind our listeners how you celebrate it with Chloe, your beautiful wife?
Oh, I played golf, and then when I came home, she gave me a beautiful rose and a card.
And it was really nice.
I made her a chicken sandwich. Chicken
what?
Roll. Yeah,
that's nice.
Barbecue sauce.
That's
Don't
love,
forget the
kids.
Barbecue sauce.
That's love.
Made her a toasted ham cheese sandwich today too.
See, you know what, Rat? I've thought about this overnight, and I think about your relationship quite a lot. And I just go, you know what? That's a woman who's easy to please, and that's the sort of relationship you want. She's not a princess.
Oh, she's not, mate. She's one of the boys. I'm telling you, she's. As good as it gets.
No,
not that girls aren't lovely and dainty and beautiful and all that stuff, but I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky.
No, you are. So, look, a bit of eye candy for our female listeners this week. We spoke to probably the best looking bloke to put on some boots in the game of rugby league,
ever.
Fair to say.
Ever.
And you played alongside him, of course, at the Sharks for 6 years, Ed Townsend. Mate, good chat with him. And what I loved about... there was an opportunity. You guys gave me a tiny window to talk about the 97 Super League War. And boy, you guys didn't hold. Well, ET didn't hold back.
No, it was an interesting chat, Jase, because I was.
You learned some stuff, right?
I did. Because ET spoke to the team after the game and we were rushed off the field and it was all very covert. And then ET got up and spoke to us as a group in. And I was always wondering when he had that first discussion about Super League. And, you know, we found out in that chat.
Very interesting stuff indeed. Mate, just to see the look on your face when he's telling us some of the details was fantastic. Rat got fired up thanks to Daddy Vass. He just threw a little grenade in the room, didn't he? And he left.
He did.
And you and I were battling it out.
Went at it.
Because I'm sick of you Queenslanders flapping your gums about who New South Wales should pick. And I half agree with you about... about old mates.
Bradman Best. Yep.
And Greg Bird got involved as well. So we'll have a listen to that. Three burning questions where, as I said, you know, Blues and also... Oh, the Broncos. The Broncos were a big news story.
Oh, the kerfuffle.
The kerfuffle. Have you seen the new video out today? It's just stacks on. That's all it is.
Mate, it's boys being boys. They're having a bit of fun.
But, mate, it's getting worse for the do-gooders.
Yeah, it is.
There's nothing in this video. Shut up. Just shut up.
Mm. Yeah, mate, I was saying that 3 days ago.
That's your dig too, thanks to Sherlock Wilbarrows, isn't it?
SherlockLastLonger.com.au.
Just the idiots who get offended by everything.
Oh, mate, just offended. I'm offended at their offense.
What?
I'm offended.
I'm confused.
I'm offended at their offense. The offence nowadays that people take on everything, it just drives me insane. I'm getting old, Jase. I'm 48
you
now.
Are. You are getting old. Mate, I'm having a dig at you, and our listener will find that out when they have a listen to you going on about the Blues.
Bring it on.
A man, a fake Queenslander, a man who was born at Caringbah Hospital having a crack at the Blues and their selection criteria.
Mate, I'm a Queenslander, mate.
From the job site to your backyard, lighten the load with Sherlock. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. This is Off the Bench with Matty Rogers and Jason Matthews. I hope you're having a great weekend wherever you are. Let's kick it off when Daddy Vass threw a grenade in the room with three burning questions here on Off the Bench.
Now it's time for three burning questions. Thanks to our mates at Toolkit Depot.
Is that a song? What song did it keep? The
three burning questions. Let's go.
Now, Bradman Best, he inked a 3-year extension with the Knights yesterday until the end of 2027.
Great signing.
Boys, do you think off the back of that, Best can reclaim the form we saw in 2023 and retain his Origin jersey?
I think he should.
Mm.
You know what you need in Origin is you need. And I don't want to say that these players aren't, but there have been players in the past with New South Wales.
Oh, here we go.
That just don't look hungry.
Oh,
they just, you know, like no, what? How did Bradman Best look in that game three? He looked hungry.
Yeah, but they had
ready.
Momentum.
What do you mean they had momentum? They
were, mate, he was getting great ball from Walker.
But they were down. They'd lost the series. He went in there with a great attitude and went in there and played hard. And that's, that's what you've missed the last couple of years. Well, he would bring that to your team.
Jimmy came out early in the week and said, I can't wait to take on the Queenslanders.
Yep.
Wait, you two, shut up. Are you saying that everyone who puts on a Blues jumper is not energised and doesn't care?
No.
Stop it, Rat.
No, what I'm saying
sick of this BS from you
guys. What I'm saying is, it's just sometimes it just seems as though, you know, just like a bit of fire in the belly. Look, take it how you will. I mean, I'm just saying what Bradman Best brought to that side last year was a hunger and a fire that I hadn't seen in a few players previous to that.
What, in the centres or just in the whole team?
Maybe. Just maybe across.
So, again, you're having a shot at Luttrell again?
No, I'm just having a shot at.
Well, who are you having a crack at?
I don't know. I think there are some players in that team that don't need to play for New South Wales anymore. And you need players like Bradman Best.
What?
You need players like Bradman Best. You need
names.
You need new players coming through.
Oh, I get
that. Are going to bring a new energy, a new fire, and a new, I guess, sense of energy into that squad. And Bradman Best fits that bill, and he showed you in Game 3 what it meant to him to play for New South Wales. And I think he should be
names.
The first centre pick for New South Wales.
The first centre pick.
Yes, I think.
Oh, you're talking like an idiot now. Seriously,
I think he should be.
What above Tommy Turbo?
Mate, he's a centre, for starters. He's playing centre. But he is a centre.
Mate, did you not see 2 years ago or 3 years ago when New South Wales won 2-1 all three games in Queensland? Who was the centre pairing then?
Here's what I know.
Haven't played together since.
But they're broken now.
Here's what I know.
They're broken now.
Mate, they get injured. the workload of the NRL season and the Origin, their bodies can't handle it. They're older.
You're an idiot.
Mate, I'm just saying, from what I've witnessed in the last couple of years, I think he's been the best centre that they've picked.
He's played one game.
Exactly. And he showed that he was the best.
Well, I think we should go through the whole Blues side and see if they've
shut up, David. Move on.
Number two. Yep. Now, Kirtley Beale came out that he wants to make a code switch to rugby league. He's 35, hasn't played since January last year for rugby. Could he be successful?
Oh, I'd be a better chance of making it. And I'm not being disrespectful to Kirtley Beale. He's not. Well, it probably might be by saying that. But, mate, I had 5 years out of the game, came back at 30, and it was tough. The hardest year of my life was 2007 when I came back. He has never played league at the top level. He could probably have a good fun career playing for the Byron Bay Red Devils. I think they're looking for a fullback or the Nerang Roosters or something, but he's not playing in the NRL. Not at 35, not playing it. It's just too hard.
Is he hoping to play top level, Daddy?
Well, he's saying he'd like to make a switch, I think.
Yeah, but to first grade rugby league, he's no chance, right? As you just said. Right. Okay. Yeah. Third question.
Now, number three, you sat at the top of the show Are you happy with just a fine for the Broncos duo? And if so, what kind of fine are we looking at?
Oh, mate, fine them $5,000 and fine them $10,000, suspend $5,000 and move on. Done.
Can I ask what happens to the money that...
I think it gets donated to something. It doesn't go back to the club. The money has to get...
No, but when the NRL issues a fine,
yeah,
let's say it's $50,000, half suspended, what happens to that money? Does that go to Vegas with Peter Volandis?
No.
It's not put on roulette?
No, it doesn't. It gets donated somewhere. I'll look into that because it's an interesting question that you do. I'm sure a lot of people do.
You
wonder.
Can't go to the end of season trip, that's for sure.
This is Off the Bench Summer Edition. We'll be back soon. Welcome back. This is Off the Bench Summer Edition.
Goulding across, intercepted by Meninga. The big bloke's away. Offie is after him. Ettinghausen's coming in support. Meninga, he's running out of legs. He finds Ettinghausen. He scores. Andrew gets his 10th try of the tour. Big Mel Meninga gets the intercept. And Andrew Ettinghausen scores.
Wow, 10 tries on a tour.
But yeah, kangaroo tour back in those days.
But those kangaroo tours, we'll bring the man in now. He's, back in the day, he was a pin-up boy for the NRL. He was in the Tina Turner ad.
He was.
We consider him on Sports Day.
He's such a big hunk of spunk.
And we've got him on for Valentine's Day for our female listeners. One of the greatest to play the game. Ever. One of your former teammates, Rat. And you told me off the air that this bloke... You know, he had a bit of mongrel about him on the field.
He was an angry man on the football field.
I don't believe it.
We'll talk about it.
Andrew Ettinghausen, welcome to the to Sports Day, and I hope you like the intro.
Yeah, thanks very much. And yeah, it brings back great memories of that. It was a bit of a turning point in that match, and we were able to sneak home. And it was a great time over there in England on those tours.
We've discussed playing against Mal. My old man was saying when he started playing with him, he'd put on like, you know, 5 to 10 kilos a year for 5 or 6 years. But I know you had a fair few battles with ET. It must have been nice standing outside him instead of standing opposite him.
Oh, 100%, Raddy. I tell you, he injured me more than any other player. Unfortunately, he was the centre opposite me when I'd play against Canberra and other and State of Origin matches. He would... Absolutely. I think he did my right knee in, so my posterior cruciate's no more. He did a disc in my neck. The list goes on. I tell you what, he was a big man. When he got angry, you wanted to be on his side, not playing against him.
Well, E.T., you played 29 tests for Australia, so most of those would have been alongside him, and you played those 30 Origin games against him. Did he get angrier at Origin time?
He was always angry, you know. When you look up and you see a bloke who's nearly twice your size, and I was fortunate to be able to play outside him, and sometimes I'd play fullback as well for the Australian team, and you know it was great to be on his side. You know, he'd get the ball and I'd rev him up. I'd go get into a Mel, you know, and he'd start. Oh, his legs would lift and he'd punch in there and he'd pop a little ball to me and I'd run up and score a try. So he was. He was a magical man for me, so it was always good to share some great moments with him. But when he played for the Maroons, it was terrifying.
Yeah, well, as magical as he was for you, you were for me, mate, back in the day. And 2000, you hung up the boots. I think we played for 6 years together at that stage. You know, after 18 years, I mean. A long time with your beloved Shark. It's your 24th year in retirement now. We know you love your fishing. We'll get into that a little bit later. But have you enjoyed the game since that, or did you move away from it for a while?
Yeah, it was funny. I'd sort of, when I was the last years, I had a few injuries, and I thought, right, yeah, this will be the last year. I'll hang up the boots. It was the 2000 season. It was a great season. We had a fantastic team, and we had a lot of fun. We didn't win the comp, but we had a lot of fun trying, and it was a great end to my career that year. And I was sort of excited about looking at all you young guys coming through still, and you were way younger than me, so you were probably one of the mature guys in the team. But it was a fantastic time back then. But the game has changed enormously since those times as well, and it's gotten so much faster. One thing I do love is that corner post. You know, years ago, the corner post, if, if you dived over for a try and hit it, well, it wasn't a try. But these days, gosh, you can do somersaults in the corner. Yeah, a lot more entertainment and, you know, big scores, which was great.
Yeah.
I think when I first started out back in 1983 as a little 17-year-old kid, it was really bizarre because we'd only train Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, and a little run on Saturday morning, and then we'd be up for our first grade game. And if you weren't at the pub on a Thursday night, you weren't playing in the Sharks team that weekend. So, you know, it was a completely different, completely different structure. Everyone was working their own jobs, and so I've seen a lot of changes over the years. Let me tell you.
So, at a 17-year-old and playing for the Sharks, did you first of all, obviously got into the pubs, but secondly, what did you have an apprenticeship or something? Et
it's at school, I think. Well, yeah, that's...
yeah. Well, I actually went to Wollongong University for. After I was doing year 12 that first year when I was playing first grade with the Sharkies, which was great. I made my debut that year, which was tops. And then at the end of that year, I went on to Wollongong Uni and did sports science down there. So I wanted to run a gym. That was sort of, you know, I had no idea that the game was ever going to be professional where we didn't have to work. So, I spent probably the first year of that uni year trying to find a premise, and then I eventually found a place at the bottom of the Leagues Club, funny enough. It opened still out onto Old Shark Park.
Remember
and
that?
And the whole bottom area was my gym for about 9 years, I think I ran it. And so I was able to run straight out the door, straight onto the training field, and then each night come back and do the fitness stuff. So, yeah, a completely different era. Completely different way of life back then, let me tell you.
Little did we know that Uncle Rupert was going to come along and change the game forever with Super League. We did all right out of that, didn't we? It was a good time.
Yeah, you did real well.
Oh, please.
Let me ask you both, how hard was that at the time, though?
It was difficult. It was a lot of conjecture, you know, a lot of, you know, he said, yeah. She said, a lot of people pointing fingers. It was a tough time. I was only a kid. I was 18. You were probably more on the front foot of that, really, because, I mean, as a senior player, I remember you and Bundy had to get up, Les Davidson had to get up and speak to us and sort of, I guess, translate what Ken Cowley and Shane Richardson had said to us as a group. And you guys sort of said, well, look, we think this is the right way to go. Did you have meetings prior to that game, or did you have a meeting after that game when you spoke to us?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what happened. I went over there. I was actually injured, Ratty. I was not playing in the game, but
right.
they brought me across. And so I've come across, and I'm having brekkie in the morning, game day, and Shane Richardson tapped me on the shoulder and said, oh, mate, after brekkie, can you just pop up to my room? I just want to have a chat to you about something. So I've wandered up to the room, opened the door, and there's about, it would have been 20 people in there. And they were all dressed up in suits and the whole bit. And I'm kind of walking and going, what the hell's going on here? And then the board explained to me that the Sharks were going across to this new Super League. And right at this moment, all the clubs are switching from the ARL across to this new Super League. And so I'm standing there in disbelief going, what the hell? This is crazy. And, they basically laid out what was going to happen, the different changes and all that sort of stuff. And you know, for me, I was probably late 20s, and I was sort of looking, okay, you know, this is the end of my career here sort of thing. So, I don't want to go and change clubs and go to some other club. But they said to me, you know, you can ring around to all the clubs. So ring Canberra, ring Laurie Daly and all the boys there. They'll tell you that, yep, they've swapped over to Super League. Ring Alfie or the boys up on the Brisbane Broncos, and I'm thinking, well, the New South Wales team's pretty much the Canberra side, and the Queensland side is pretty much the Broncos side. So if those guys are all going across, well, you know, it's crazy that that we don't. And for the Sharkies in itself, it was a great thing for the Sharks. We probably wouldn't be here as a club anymore.
No.
Wow.
You know, that debt of about $16 million didn't get paid by News Limited at that time, you know. So, you know, there was a lot of good fortune for many, many of the players.
There was.
And probably the only two players who I was sort of concerned about was Aaron Raper and Adam Ritson.
Yep.
And I told the News Limited guys, listen, you can't you can't sign these guys by just, you know, putting their pen to paper tonight. They're too young. You need to let them talk with their parents and the whole bit. And those, funny enough, were the two guys who went across to Parramatta. So,
I think they did all right, though.
They departed, but I think they did all right.
So, mate, going back, that's an interesting story, because I was always wondering when they'd spoken to you and Les, because, you're obviously the senior players. I think I was 18 at the time, 19, just to 19. And it was a lot going on, but it was good times in the end. But mate, I just wanted to go back to 83. I mean, you look at the game now, and you look at, you know, the way that the players are protected, head knocks. You know, there was none of that back in 1983. I mean, even when I came in, there was none of it. You come in as a 17-year-old in 1983. The game's as rugged and as tough as it comes. Like, did you have anyone who was looking after you in terms of like, mate, I'll look after you. I'm going to protect you. I know it, like the halves nowadays, they've got a big burly back rower next to them that'll protect them from those edge runners. Did you have anyone that was looking after you, or he said, just grabbed you and said, mate, you'll be all right out here. I got your back. You'll be okay.
Yeah, I was pretty lucky. You know, the game was super tough back then. Virtually, it was tit for tat. A guy could come in and belt you, and the referee wouldn't do anything, but your mate could go in and belt one of them. It was a crazy game, and you could see why the game has had to change, because, you know, no one would want to have their kids playing that sort of sport anymore. But, it was pretty rough, mate. I had a good bunch of, because I was so young, everyone else was way older, you know. I felt they were like 40, you know. They're in their mid-20s, and they've got beards and moustaches, and I'm going, what's going on here? But, it was, I was very fortunate. I had had these senior guys who did look after me, and you sort of needed to have that bit of help as well, because just about everyone wanted to take my head off. And you know, every time I tackled, I reckon for a few years it was knees and elbows in every tackle. So you had to really they had to be fast, which fortunately I was, and you had to be prepared, because anything could happen at any time. But you know, we had guys. Even in the later years, you know, guys like Gavin Miller was a pretty tough old character on the footy field, and you know, nothing went past him. If anyone belted one of our blokes, well, Gav was going to set his sights on them. And you know, we also had like Bundy. You know, we had big Les Davidson there in those latter years as well. So you know, it was certainly a different stage of life and different type of game back in those years when it was it wasn't professional, it was still pretty much amateur.
Yeah, actually, there's been a few of the older games on Fox recently, and I saw a replay of it. It was a Manly Parramatta Grand Final.
Yep.
Manly kick it off short, so Sterlo could get the ball, just so they could whack him.
Yep.
That was the way the game started. It's like, wow, the game certainly has changed. Do you like where the game's sitting nowadays, ET?
Yeah, I do actually. Like, we've been through so many changes. In those early 80s, the grand finals were like 4-2 or 6-4, you know, really stupid sort of close games where no points were scored either side. And, you know, it was boring footy, which I thought. It was still a tough game. But, you know, now then the 10 metre rule, I played under the 5-metre rule, and then the 10-metre rule came in, and next minute you got, you know, 26-24 and these... You know, both sides are actually scoring plenty of points, and both teams' supporters could sit up in the stand and be really happy with their team, even though they might have lost. They still scored a pile of points, and they had a bit of happiness along the way. But the game has changed incredibly, and I think it'll just continue to change. It's hard to know what changes are next. There's been a fair few over the last 5 years, but I think as it changes, I think it adds another spark to the game. And I'm pretty happy with the way it looks at the moment.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the product's looking great. It's great for TV, and it's exciting. Lots of points being scored. Now, I want to touch on Origin. I obviously played for Queensland, and my counterpart here, he's a mad Blues fan. Now, you played for New South Wales 30 times. You're as passionate as anyone that I know pulled on the jumper. I remember a series early on. I think it was when you went through the series. I think you won 3-0. And you used the same 17 players. There was a series where you did that, right?
Yeah.
I remember you coming back to training.
Pretty amazing.
And just talking about what Gus was like, and just the emotion that he poured out, and how we get you guys up. Now, Wayne Bennett is that guy for Queensland. And a couple of years ago, when we were struggling, he came back in, and, you know, the worst team of the, you know, ever that Queensland picked, they go out and they win the series. If New South Wales don't get the job done this year, if Queensland win again and there's a threat of another dynasty, does the SOS need to go out to Gus Gould? Do they need to bring him back to get New South Wales back to where they need to be?
Do they need to bring Gus back? Well, Gus is, you know, he's been, you know, had a big impact on the game over many, many years. When we were in State of Origin back in those 90s, yeah, he was the coach that you wanted to play under. He was fantastic for, you know, a group of guys coming together for a six-week period and, you know, just putting it all on the line, not thinking about anything else except the Blues and how we're going to win. You know, and we had some fantastic years. That team you were talking about was in, I think it was in 96. And, you know, we had wounded guys on the bench, you know, like we'd be before the game, Gus would be saying, listen, I know these two guys can only run at half pace and do this and that, but we're taking the whole squad through. And we won all three matches that year, which was a fantastic, yeah. And I think all of that emotion, everything built up around, you know, this team, and, you know, we fight to the death for each other. And, you know, Gus really turned it on. He was able to do that, you know, getting guys almost to run through brick walls when they're half busted up. But, you know, we always played against fantastic Queensland teams. So, yep, you know, it was always a battle. And the battle from there was to make the Australian team. And that was the, you know, you wanted to go on these kangaroo tours. You definitely didn't want to be left off the list there. So everyone really played their heart out. And, yeah, we're very fortunate to have Gus as a coach over those years for sure.
So do they need him back? That's a yes or no.
Come on.
Do you need him?
Need him back? Well, you know what? When you talk about it, I look at last year's season and
he's doing this to roll me up, E.T. E.T., he's taken the P1 double five.
Game one, and I really felt, you know, going into the second half, New South Wales took the lead. I'm thinking, oh, wow, you know, there's nothing in this game, but the boys should win from here. I felt they had all the possession in the first half. They'd worn the Queenslanders down. It was just a little bit of Queensland spirit got them over the line in the end.
So that's what I'm saying, you know, E.T. That's what I'm saying. Do you need Gus? Do you need the Gus spirit back?
Unfortunately, Freddie in game two didn't pick a good enough sort of combination. You need to have the combos already sorted in State of Origin. You can't just have guys from different clubs, even though they're good players. You can't have them turn up on State of Origin day and expect to be able to know what that other guy's thinking or doing. Yeah. And you've got to have those combos. And so you really need to go back to the experienced players, you know, say a Reynolds and a Walker, something like that. You know, you pull a guy back from the Broncos and you stick him in the New South Wales team. But you needed to have that sort of close connection where they didn't have to talk, they just knew.
Yep.
And that's what they lacked in that game too, and they got flogged, you know. That was an embarrassment. And then game three, well, Freddie got the Blues to a win again. But, you know, again, it was trying to go back through those strong combinations. And he did it through the Rabbitohs last year. Mm. And so the last game, that if you look at their team, a much more balanced team. A lot of guys had played together a ton of times. And there we go. You know, it could have been a 3-0 whitewash.
Too little, too late, really.
Oh, shut up, Rad.
Too little, too late. But I really don't think there's too much.
Now, mate,
with the boys' side.
Mate, we've got to wrap things up, but escape fishing with E.T., it's into series 25. You've just been fishing for the last 25 years since
you've
retired.
You've been in some of those.
I think I outfished you every time too, just quite. No, I didn't. But
you said probably that too. You probably did.
Yeah, he's been bragging about that.
Mate, it's been a passion of yours, obviously. Oh, I mean, you taught me plenty throughout the years, you know, fishing out and on the Port Hacking. Mate, where can our listeners catch escape fishing with E.T. this year?
Well, this is our 25th year. We've only just started back last week, and we're on Channel 10, so 7:30 on a Saturday morning, 5 p.m. Saturday arvos on 10 Bold, and on Sundays at 11 o'clock on 10 Bold if you've missed it. So, and you can go on, you can stream any time on 10 Play to watch it at your leisure. So,
beauty.
Yeah, we're 25 years. Still can't believe
crazy.
It, Raddy. 18 years of footy and 25 years of fishing.
What a life you've lived. A life you have lived so far, Andrew Eddingshausen. Hey, mate, thanks for joining us tonight on Sports Day. Go the Blues in 2024. And, mate, we appreciate your time.
Go the Blues. Good on you, boys. Love to talk to you.
This is Off the Bench Summer Edition. We'll be back soon. Welcome back. This is Off the Bench Summer Edition.
I'm a proud New South Welshman and I hold my head high. I know I definitely wouldn't act the way the Queensland public act. I guess being humble in victory isn't something that they're good at up there. It'd be good to shut people up.
Oh, I love it.
Get you fired up, doesn't it?
Oh, mate, I'm the only blue bloke in this studio putting up with you and Sats all the time and Daddy Vass, the producer. It's good to have a blue bagger on the line right now. One of the greats to play for New South Wales. And Rat, I don't want to embarrass the man, but you said he saved your life plenty of times.
Yeah, he did. Yep,
on the footy field. Mm. He's joining us now, Birdie. Greg Bird, thanks for joining us on Sports Day.
G'day, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Can I just say, I didn't have the pleasure of talking to you last year on air. Sats and Rat did. And I think the quote from you last year in the interview was something around like Queensland has accused New South Wales people of not caring about state of origin. Mm. And I forget what your quote was, but you just shut everyone up, mate. I loved it.
Mate, it's an absolute joke. It doesn't mean more to Queenslanders. Everyone knows it. Down south, it's just the line that they like to tell themselves to try to pump themselves up. But obviously, it's bullshit as far as I'm concerned.
I think that was the quote, actually.
Yeah, I like it, Birdie. Mate, now you played 5 games for the Indigenous All Stars. Obviously, the Indigenous All Stars and the Maori All Stars are playing in the coming weeks. And mate, what did it mean to you to pull on that Indigenous All Stars jersey, buddy?
Mate, it's a strange one. At the start, you know, going into camp, it probably didn't mean that much. I didn't know much about my Indigenous heritage. Throughout that first camp, I realised I wasn't the only one in that boat. A lot of players, you know, blokes like Jonathan Thurston, big names that people would think of, you know, proud Indigenous people, and he is. But the knowledge of his own past probably wasn't strong with him, and it wasn't with me either. It took that game and seeing what it meant to a lot of the community and a lot of the players in the team for me to go back and search my lineage, go find out a bit about my history and speak to my family. So after that, you know, it was a very proud moment. It was very fulfilling to actually, you know, go find out a little bit about where I come from and the lives that my family members have struggled with over the years through the stolen generation and the likes of things that happened to a lot of families.
Is that, and Bertie, a lot of the young players coming through nowadays, it's same for them, you know, not understanding the history of their tribe and whatnot. How important is it having the greats around the younger players? Like I hear having someone like GI in camp, for example, is one of the most inspirational things you'll see.
Oh, mate, if you go back to the war dance we did, I think it was like 2013 or 14, and GI was standing up in the middle of it. Man, that was inspirational in itself. He's one of the best to play rugby league, and he is a proud Aboriginal man. Bled to play with the likes of Wendell and Preston, hear their stories, and I'm sure Presto will probably be thereabouts this week throughout the camp. He's the reason why this game's even on the calendar. So, you know, that does mean a lot to a lot of people. And it's not just you that means a lot to. It's the fans that turn up week in, week out. You know, there's a lot of Indigenous supporters in rugby league. Pretty much, you know, most black fellas love rugby league, especially New South Wales and Queensland. It's a blue-collar sport, and they come a lot of the time from blue-collar families. So, it does mean a lot to the people, and see what it means to people. It does touch in a definite certain way.
It was funny. I was talking to Rad about this yesterday, and I love the fact now it's the Indigenous All-Stars versus the Maori All-Stars. Mm. Wonderful contest. But if we go back to the beginning, obviously it was the Indigenous All-Stars versus the NRL All-Stars.
Mm.
And I remember watching one of the first games, if not the first, I think you're in the game, Birdie. There was a young bloke who came over from England called Sam Burgess playing for the NRL All-Stars, and I'm going, geez, this bloke goes all right. And then I heard the commentator saying, oh, the Bunnies are going to love him this year. I was going, you beauty. These games at the start of a season unearth stars, don't they?
They do, but I think he was already a star. I played against him in 2009 in the Super League, and he was an absolute weapon over there. So it does give a lot of players opportunities. I know, especially in the Indigenous side, you know, there's not a great deal. When I started, there wasn't a great deal of forwards to pick from. A lot of backs, a lot of halves, a lot of fast, skillful players, but the bigger guys, it was pretty much me and Sam Tide, and Georgie Rose doing most of the work. a lot of young blokes coming through weren't probably your big names in rugby league. I think that's probably changed a little bit now. A lot of younger guys are sort of developing, and there's players that have been in the game a little bit for years. Few more years for feeders and the like. So, but it is an opportunity on a big stage. It can be tough playing football at that pace. They come out at like state of origin pace for the first game of the year. It can be difficult, but it's always a spectacle, and it's a great way to start the rugby league year off.
Can I go back to state of origin, boys? Can I go back to that? I don't know if you heard your good mate and your lousy golfing partner, Rat, last week. I can't believe the dribble that just comes out of his mouth. He made this comment about Ponga playing in the 13.
Could you imagine having Caelan Ponga wearing the 13 jersey and just having them both sitting out the back?
What?
On both sides.
I never thought of the 13.
New South Wales are in so much trouble.
Birdie, can you believe that rubbish? If you were still playing nowadays, go ahead. What would you do to Ponga if you saw him in a 13 jersey?
I think I commented on the Instagram page for SCN for that one.
It did.
And Rat knows all about it. Hey, you can't have another spot. They've got enough spots in the line.
Yeah, well, mate.
Jerry Evans.
Yeah. Well, you know, you keep trying to run them, but they've got blokes around them like you did for me, mate. They've got little protectors either side of them. But I think not as a starting 13, but bring him on after 15 or 20 minutes or 25 minutes into the game.
I say protecting him.
Yeah, and let's just get him into the flow of it and just get him in the attacking side. It'd be devastating. But, Birdie, I do like
the idea of rugby league in that sense, and the rep games, how they do play players out of position.
Mm.
I think it adds to the spectacle of state of origin, but yeah, definitely not to start the match.
No. Birdie, I wanted to talk to you about origin because you're coaching at Southport. You're coaching A grade up there. It's your first year with the top job. You've coached the 19s there for a couple of years. Won the comp with them. Have you finally hung the boots up, mate? Because I know you tore your Achilles in the 9s tournament. Is that it now? Like, are you finally going to just, that's enough, I'm not going to play anymore? Or is it just going to, you're going to keep playing and coaching?
Well, when I was walking off the field and having a cold beverage after the game the other week, I did say this was the last I want to play another game, but the Achilles is feeling a little bit better, although it is in a boot. So we'll see what happens throughout the year. Mm. I might pull the boots on again and have another run at South. But I'm on my way to training at the moment, actually. So
nice.
2 years in a row, the mighty Southport Tigers.
Yeah, good.
Tough to beat again this year.
Yeah, good one, mate. Hey, I just wanted to ask you, with Madge has come out and he said, look, no one's safe. You know, no one's, you know, got a position on a mortgage here. It's like everyone's going to be, you know, it's form. You're in the coaching business. What would it mean to you if Madge rang you and said, mate, Birdie, we want you around these guys? Would it be something that you would jump at, or do you think that it's too soon to do that, or would you want straight, you'd be all in?
Mate, I'll be all in, 100%. No, I think that's the pinnacle of a rugby league coach, to be involved in that game. I love that state of origin. I love state of origin more than any other form of it. But I'm happy chipping away up here at the moment. I think Queensland does it really well, bringing blokes like Nate Miles and Ken Smith and Jonathan Thurston, blokes that don't have current NRL contracts, into roles where they can, you know, be inspirational in the sense, probably more than strategic in game planning, I guess for Milesy, for that matter. But, yeah, mate, I think there's a spot for it in rep football. You know, the likes that you'll see in the All-Stars game this weekend will be, you know, will be telling you that as well. You know, older former rugby league players like Greg Inglis's, that come in not only talk about, you know, the strategy. You know, State of Origin isn't all about strategy. I think it's more about passion and intensity and desire. You know, the team that with the most desire usually goes out and wins the games, and unfortunately that's been the Queensland the last couple of years.
With your coaching, what's the goal, Bert? Is it to progress through from where you are now into an NRL program and hopefully one day get the top gig with an NRL team?
Mate, I'm really just enjoying taking it as it comes at the moment, mate. I enjoyed playing. I enjoyed doing a little bit of coaching when I played. You know, trying to be a mentor to the younger players. As you know, me and myself did that at the time for a few years.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm really just taking it as it comes. I'll see what happens and go from there, really.
Geez, why aren't you blokes at the Titans still? Just, I guess that's another issue. We'll park that to the side and we won't go into that. Bertie, you're one of my favourite hard men of rugby league, being a Blues supporter. Get you on around Origin time.
And that'll be good.
We'll have a chat about Rats golf as well next time we catch up. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, lads. Thank you.
Time for a racing update for Racing Queensland. Racing action continues every day across the Sunshine State. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today.
Now, listen, Nelso, a big weekend of racing around Queensland. What are we expecting?
Well, we're expecting, I don't know what we're expecting weather-wise. I never know from one day to the next what the weather's going to do. But we've got a busy weekend. We race at Eagle Farm on Saturday, so that's one good thing. If we do get a bit of rain, it won't make a massive difference to the track condition, so that's good. We race at Aquas Park on the poly track. Last meeting there until we go to the grass, or we go to the grass next Saturday. So one more meeting on the poly, and then we race at Toowoomba in the Twilight Zone and Sunshine Coast on Sunday. Only six races on Sunday at the Sunshine Coast, and a couple of non-tabbers at Home Hill and Roma Guy. So plenty to get our teeth stuck into.
Right. Well, Nelso, can you got any tips?
Well, I'm going to do something a little bit different. Seeing it's the time of the year where there's lots of good races all around the country, I'm going to give you my three best each week, and I'm going to throw in a roughie as well.
All right.
So here we
go. Let's go.
My best bets. We are going to Sydney, Randwick, race one, number two, Switzerland. Horse, I think, will go close to winning the slipper if Stormboy wasn't in it. I think it'll run really well. Race one, number two, Switzerland. Then we'll go to Eagle Farm. Race one, number one, Hidden Wealth. First up, Tony Gollan. Big surprise there, Jace. I think Hidden Wealth can win first up off some good trials.
Who's the jockey?
Then we'll go to
Hang
Flemington.
On. Who's the?
No,
who's
it's not Maloney. It's Jimmy Orman.
Okay, sorry.
And the other one is Flemington. Race seven, number two, King Colorado. I think will win as well. Keep in mind, Imperatrix returns at Flemington on Saturday in the Black Caviar Lightning. And my roughie, my value, Eagle Farm, race eight, number 14, Lady Ladar, trained on the Sunshine Coast. She was a real eye-catcher first up. So there you go. We're going to go around the grounds for a few months.
I like it. I like it. It's you got a couple of number twos in there. That's very good. I'm loving that, actually.
That's right.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today. Chris Nelson, have a lovely weekend.
And you guys, hopefully many winners for all of us. We'll catch you next week.